EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, and I hope you've all had a blessed week. I'm Nick Hunter and you're listening to the UFO Chronicles podcast. The state of Michigan is our destination tonight as we hear from James. James's experiences started about 27 years ago and they include sightings of a blue light in the sky, encounters with apparitions and various out-of-the-body experiences. James is up next. But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to patreon.com/UFO Chronicles podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on today, and you're calling from the state of Michigan.
Yep, that is correct.
Okay, now James, you have some experiences you're going to be sharing with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
Yeah, the first thing I do want to mention, not so much just because, for sympathy or for any other reason except that it'll be sort of important to a lot of the experiences, is that I was born legally blind. And so I'm extremely nearsighted. So that makes some of the things I'm going to talk about here even more surprising in a way. And I can start with the very first thing, which was still falls into that category, because my first experience that I can remember for sure anyway happened when I was about, I'd say 14 or 15, I believe, right around there. I'm terrible with remembering dates and years and times and all those things. So, but that happens when you just start to get older and I'm 42 now. So this is over 25 years ago. So, but I went to visit my aunt and uncle and their 3 kids, 2 daughters and 1 son had just moved to a new house or to a different house. And so I went to see them for the first time, see their son, my one cousin, because I used to go over there a lot to visit him. He's a few years younger than me, but we always got along really well. And so I went there for this first time after they got there. They were still unpacking things, but it seemed like a huge house to me as a kid. It was 2-story with a huge basement. So this first night that I went there, my cousin had decided we would sleep in the basement. Of course, this is way before I ever got into got interested in anything paranormal and I'd never really been into horror movies and things like that. So we had no idea about the whole, the movie trope or TV trope of scary things happening in the basement or the attic or any of those things. So, and we were kids, so we wouldn't be able to really watch much of that stuff yet anyway. So we were in the basement that night. They had, they were still unpacking, like I said, so there was stuff all over the place in the basement. But there was, you know, paths that were, they made sure there was like walkways to get around everywhere. And so we were able to get to this big couch bed that they had down there. I'm not sure if my cousin hung them up or the family did, and there was just like laundry day before. But there were sheets that were hanging from these clotheslines that they had strung across the between like the support poles and the rafters of the basement and near the ceiling and everything. And so we almost had like a little two sides to a room, like almost like a little mini room in within the larger room of the basement. So we were just sitting in the couch bed, and it was a good sized couch bed, and we were also kids still, so it was plenty of space. And I don't remember what we were talking about because it was so many years ago now, probably just toys and video games and all those things. This was back in the, let me see here, that would have been the 90s, I believe. Yeah, 90s, early to mid 90s. So we were talking and we happened to look towards the back of the basement, which was, there's this one little corner that is behind the stairwell. And that's where all the like plumbing and electric stuff, all the utilities were at for the house. And so that part was dark because they had lights in the basement, but you had to pull a string to turn each one on or off. They didn't have one switch for all the lights. And so we only had the light on by the stairs and then the one on right above us. And so the rest of the basement was dark. And of course, the darkest part was that section behind the stairs, the stairwell. And we were looking back, and there was another one of those clotheslines with another sheet hanging up on it. And we both noticed that there was something above the sheet. Now, these are clotheslines that are hanging at least a good 5, probably almost 6 feet off the ground. I don't know for sure. Distances are also hard for me to pin down. But there was something above the clothesline and the sheet. And it was just the head of an older woman, like an elderly woman, above this clothesline. But there was nothing below the clothesline. And again, this was, for that to be up there, for someone to be up there, they'd have to be standing on something, or they'd have to be probably over 6 feet tall. And there was nothing there for anyone to stand on, and there was nothing beneath on the floor beneath the sheet. Also, it was odd because we were basically at one end of the basement, and this was at the other end. Now, I am extremely nearsighted, so all that I should have seen was a blur, just almost like a circular-shaped blur. But I could see facial features and hair and glasses, and I don't remember exactly now what the eye color was, but I feel like it was blue. And she was glaring at us, giving us a look like, who are you and what are you doing here? But we knew it wasn't a regular person because, again, there were no feet on the floor. And so we were afraid, but we didn't know what to do. We thought about going upstairs to get the rest of the family, but we were also worried, what if we get everyone down there again and whoever or whatever this is gone? We're going to be in a lot of trouble for waking everybody up at who knows what time it was late at night. So we didn't do that. And we just sort of froze and decided, okay, we're not going to look in that direction anymore for the rest of the night. I don't know why we didn't think to get up and just go and sleep somewhere upstairs. That never crossed our minds. So we just did not look in that direction. Of course, every once in a while, your attention would slip and looking back there, and oh, yeah, still there. Okay. But by not looking in that one direction, we were looking more towards the other side of the other corner of the basement where the stairwell led out into the basement and where the other light was, because that was light as good. And I'm sorry if you hear my cat walking around between the vertical blinds and all behind me here. But and that's how we saw, funny enough, we saw on the floor, and basically on the floor, I couldn't really tell exactly where it was, but we saw a cat, a black cat, orange, yellow, red, like orangish, I don't know what color, bright eyes. And it was just, it was laying on its stomach with its paws kind of tucked in the way they do sometimes. And it was just looking at us. And at first we thought it must have been a regular cat. We thought maybe it was either it had been hiding the whole time while the family had been moving in and it had just been there, or it got in somehow while everyone was moving in, because it's a 5-person family. There's a lot of, imagine there's a lot going on there. A lot of doors open and close and all that, all those things. And we both like cats. So we decided also to distract ourselves from the creepy woman, whatever it was in the corner there. We decided to go check out the cat because we wanted to know how it got in. And so we decided to get out of the couch bed. And to do that, we had to sort of look away from the cat as we were getting out, because we were kids and those couch beds, they have those metal frames, and you want to get out carefully. Otherwise, it can kind of hurt. And so, of course, when we got on our feet and turned back towards where the cat was at, it was gone. And at this point, I was listening. I was very aware of our surroundings, and I've always been good at listening, because sort of it, that my sense of hearing is always compensated for my low vision. And I thought it was odd that I didn't hear any sounds of the cat moving away from where we had seen it. And so that freaked us out a little bit. And again, I don't know why we didn't think to go upstairs, but we instead got back into the couch bed. So we got back in the couch bed. And of course, when we looked back to where, to near the steps again, that cat was right back where it had been. And again, no sound. And it was a concrete or cement basement floor. There was stuff all over the floor. There was actually a basket, like little wicker basket with some envelopes or stationery in it right where that cat was at. So I don't even know how it was there to begin with. And it was just, it was back again. So we decided after that to just look at each other and just sit there and talk and then hopefully eventually fall asleep. And we did. We fell asleep. I don't know how. But also over the years, I've learned that does happen. Even though it seems like there's no way anyone should be able to fall asleep with all that going on, if you look into these accounts of all these experiences people have, you'll come across that over and over again. People just, they fall asleep after something happens. And so that was my first set of experiences in that house, and also just with anything paranormal or unexplained back when I was a kid. I still don't know what was going on there. I'm not sure. I don't know that the woman was necessarily evil, even though she, at the time, she was very frightening. I don't know who it was. And for all we know, it could have just been someone that was staying there and didn't know what was going on. And maybe she was thinking, who are you and what are you doing here? You know, what are you doing here? Maybe even in my house. So it was odd. But now I think back on it, I don't think that really we were in any kind of danger from that, what we saw that night. But of course, never having an experience, that was very frightening at the time. Had other experiences in that house. We saw this was another weekend. I used to go over there about every weekend, just about in the summertime, and especially in the summertime when there was no school. And then sometimes during the rest of the year on the weekends as well. So this was the weekend when I went over there. This time we never camped out in the basement again after that one night, at least not for overnight anyway. Anyway, so this one other night I stayed over there. We were in they had this front room that they used just for gatherings, and I guess you'd call it like a sitting room or like a living room No TV, nothing like that. Just somewhere for people to sit and talk and things like that. But we were camped out there instead. We were just laying on blankets on the floor. And then we were talking and starting to get a little bit tired. And I think my cousin started to fall asleep. I was still awake. I've always been more of a night owl. So I was still laying there awake and bored. And I noticed this glow coming from off to our right, which is the stairwell leading up to the second floor. The stairs for the to go from the base, from the ground floor to the basement and the ground floor to the second floor, they were kind of stacked on top of each other. If you know what I mean, we're basically one over the other. So that's like they almost make their own sort of passage without any other extra ceiling or walls or whatever you want to call it. So it's funny that happened. This happened like in the general area of the basement as well. But we saw this glow coming from the stairs coming down to the ground floor. And it was a white light in the size of a person, but it didn't have any features of a person. Just like a blob, person-sized shape. But there was something in the middle of this white light that I've never seen before since, and I've never heard of an encounter like this as of yet. There was a giant cat's claw in the middle of this white light. And it was just the claw. It wasn't like a paw. It wasn't any other part of an animal. It was just like a giant claw floating in the middle of this light. And it came down the stairs, and it entered the room that we were in. It floated right past our feet. And it floated. It didn't walk. It was just floating. And it went around my side to my left. And out of the room, back into the dining room. And my cousin didn't want to move, but I didn't like the idea of not being able to see where this thing was going. So I sat up and got up and crawled over to the side of this archway that led into the dining room. And I watched this thing float through the dining room table and chairs and then out through the wall and window. There's a window in the wall there, and out to the backyard. And of course, this room, this part of the house, it's raised a little bit from the ground. So it would have been floating, I'm guessing, like half of a story. So maybe a few feet, maybe 4 or 5 feet up in the air. This thing was floating out of there. So, and after that, I did get back in bed because I didn't know what else to do and thought, well, it's whatever it is, left the house apparently. Yeah, and those are probably the two most memorable sightings where I had a witness with me in that house. So I did see that white thing one other time in that house. And the second story, and this was in my cousin's bedroom. And again, it was at night. And my cousin was asleep. He had one of those, I don't know what you call them. It was like a bunk bed, but the bottom was not a bed. It was a desk. And so you could sit at your desk underneath your bed, basically. And so he was up on the bed on the top because I've never been one to climb ladders for any reason if I can help it. And so I was just sleeping on a blanket on the floor in his room. And I could tell he had already fallen asleep. And I was just laying there again, wide awake. And the door was closed to the bedroom. And I saw this light starting to come through the door. And it was that same white light. And I was afraid, but I didn't really know what to do because there was only one way in and out of that room, and that was that door. And this white light with this cat's claw in it was coming through the door. So I just stayed where I was. And it came through, and it stopped in front of me. And I was just looking at it. I started to see these other dim lights in the air between me and this whatever this was, this entity. And there was four of them. And they started to stretch out a little bit until I was looking at, it reminded me of mannequin limbs, like just the limbs from a mannequin. But they looked also, they didn't look like plastic. They looked like they were flesh and blood. It wasn't gory, luckily. There wasn't anything gross like a horror movie. But they still looked like they were actual arms and legs with the feet and hands on them and everything. And they just floated in the air between me and this thing. And again, I didn't know what else to do, so I just closed my eyes because I didn't want to look at it anymore. And just focused on not looking. And then I started to drift off and I fell asleep. And that was the last sighting in that house. Had some other things, some sounds of doors opening and closing. We would hear that when we'd be on the second floor up in my cousin's room. And we'd hear the sounds of doors opening and closing on the ground floor. And we would go look, and there all the doors would be as they had been, and there'd be no one else home and no sign of anyone else having pulled up in the driveway. We never heard anything in the driveway, any vehicles. And eventually we just stopped checking because this happened several times. The only other time we had, there was sound, but also it's basically vibrations. We were sitting in the front room again in the middle of the day this time, though. We heard those sounds of the doors opening and closing during the day, too. And we were sitting in this front room. We were looking through or sorting out some kind of sports, either base, I think it was baseball cards for one of my relatives, kind of sorting them out, or at least trying to, and just talking. And we were at the house by ourselves at that point. I think this is maybe a year or so after they had moved in. So I was around 16. And we heard this knock or this bump on the underside. So basically the ceiling of the basement, but we heard it through the floor in that room. At first we were thinking and hoping it was just some kind of something to do with the plumbing or something like that. And we just wrote it off and kept on talking and looking through cards. And eventually, as we were talking, we heard another bump. And the first one was closer to the wall, to one side of the room. And the second one was a little bit closer to the middle of the room. And the second one was also a little bit louder. And so we heard the second bump, and we were still trying to write it off as the pulling. And so we just kept on talking and tried talking a little bit louder and not leaving any space in between our words. And we heard a third bump. And we just froze. And then a fourth one. And then like a fifth one. Every time one of these would happen, it'd be a little bit louder. And it would get a little bit closer to the center of the room until the last one sounded like something just slammed into the ceiling, right in the middle of the room, right between us. And we jumped up and decided to go sit out on the porch in the front of the house until someone else got home. And my cousin's dad, my cousin's dad, got home. And we went back in once he got there, and everything was fine. But yeah, so there was a lot of activity in that house. But the odd thing about that is, from what I've heard, nothing really ever happened to my cousin on his own in that house or anyone else that I know of. So it was only when I was there, which is odd. But yeah, that was a odd series of events there. That was my first set of experiences. A lot of my experiences going through from then until just a few years ago, they have either been sort of more like the ones I just described, almost like a what you might call like a haunting or like ghosts, even though after doing sort of research into these things for over the years, I really don't know what a ghost is or what any of these things that we experience really are. So I sort of just use that word those words as reference points. So I've had a lot of those experiences, and I've had some other ones where they took place while I was sleeping. But the most memorable, or the most, I would say, maybe extreme thing that ever happened as far as paranormal events, where there was actual evidence of it through recording that I don't have anymore, and I'll explain why, happened about 10 years ago. So when I was about 19 or 20, I went to stay at this training center for people with low vision or no vision to learn, just learn independent living skills, learn how to do things that you have to do, but learn how to do them when you don't have as much vision as everyone else does, or as most people do. And so I stayed there a few weeks at the time, and actually I think about a month total. And I had some weird things happen there at that time. One of them was I would be in the computer room at the time. The place was remodeled years later, but I would be in the computer room where you were allowed to use their computers and their internet, which back in early 2000s was a big deal. And they had the basically top-of-the-line internet, so it was always fun to go in there and play, like, online games and listen to music and things. And of course, back then, online games were like solitaire. That was cutting edge technology back then. So I was there a few nights. I was usually there at night myself, a lot of cases. And I would be in this small room, sort of like an L-shaped room with a door, and then you come in and then you go to the right and that's the rest of the room. And I would hear footsteps walking around the middle of the room, but there'd be no one in there. And the door was the kind that had it was one of those where it would close on its own if you didn't hold it open. I never heard it open or close, so I know no one else came in there. And I have some vision. I'm legally blind, so I can see some things. And I would look back behind me, and I'd be hearing the footsteps, and there would be chairs that had been left sort of pushed out from the tables and the desks and everything. And there would be chairs in the space where I was hearing the footsteps. So that was odd. I had other times I'd hear the footsteps in the hallways of the building at night when I'd be walking around kind of bored because I was a night owl and no one else was awake except for the supervisor. But the most amazing things about that building were that basically a series of times where I heard the same voice. The first time I heard it was when I was moved into this one room that was in the opposite end of the building from all the other living quarters. It was in the section with all the classrooms. So I was the only one in that side of the building at night. And the first night that I stayed in this room, I was getting tired, and I turned the lights down. I've always liked the dark, as far as I don't have a problem sleeping in the dark. I've always preferred that. But this night, for some reason, I did not want to turn the light off all the way. I was just getting a weird feeling from the room, and I just did not want the lights completely off. And so I turned it down. It had a dimmer dial on it. And so I just turned that all the way down as far as it would go before it would turn off. And so I laid down. I did that, and I laid down in the bed. And I was half asleep. It's falling asleep slowly. And I started to hear this voice of a woman that I didn't recognize from anyone else that was there, of course, in the building. And she was also in that room somehow. But I couldn't understand what she was saying. And so I woke up. And as soon as I woke up, the voice stopped. And this happened a couple of times when I did that, when I tried to sleep. And so eventually that night, I just left the room and went out and stayed up a while longer until I was really tired and came back and just was exhausted and fell asleep right away. But so the second time I heard this voice was some days later, I don't know, a week or maybe even 2 weeks later. I was talking with a friend that I had made, but they had already gone home. So we were talking on the phone. They were at their home, and I was still at this training center. And I heard this same voice that I recognized. And it was a woman's voice, and she said something like, "I'm coming down the hallway now." And it sounded like she was just doing her job reporting to some other employee or some other person that worked there, like just making a report, nothing malicious, nothing negative. I thought, well, that's odd. I know I heard that. And then my friend on the phone said, "What was that? Who was that?" I said, "I don't know, but that's the voice I heard in the room a while before this." So I was really shocked by that. I'd had other experiences, but I never really had a voice that I heard, and then I heard it again, but I heard it through basically two different mediums, one my own ears and then another through a device.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
So eventually I did end up going home. I learned what I could there. And I thought, well, I'll probably never come back to this place again. And I didn't for about 10 years till my vision started to change. And I'll go back to that once I finish with this, but I may know a reason for that change, possibly. But it started to change and get to where I couldn't read books in print anymore, even with special reading glasses. And so I decided I wanted to learn how to read Braille, which is this tactile language, written language that uses dots, different configurations of dots, raised bumps basically on paper to make letters and words. And so I decided to learn that. And to do that, I was invited to go back to that training center again. I said yes, for a couple of reasons. Of course, to learn the Braille and whatever else I could while I was there. But also, by this point, I was very much interested in all things unexplained, paranormal. And so I was curious if I would have any other experiences there. I didn't really expect it, but also I was curious because I was aware that the place had been remodeled just a year or two maybe before I went there again. And that's another one of those somewhat common things you hear about when it comes to activity in places where when renovations start or when things are changed, things can start to happen or increase. Things can keep happening and even more than they did before. So I went back there and had a bunch of other experiences with sounds and things like that. But this one night while I was there, I was up late, of course, and all my friends decided to start heading to bed. It was, I don't know, 1 or 2 in the morning around there. And I was sitting in this TV/meeting room. And I've always been into writing stories, fiction, sci-fi, paranormal stuff. And so I was on my laptop that I had at the time working on a project. And so I was sitting in this room all by myself. And this was in the middle of winter here in Michigan. So when I started hearing the sounds of someone walking down the hallway, and basically on the other side of the wall in front of me. And I looked up because there was a door. The doors that led to the room or to the hallway, they were the kind that had a window in the middle of them. And by this point, all the lights in the building had been switched over to motion-activated lights. And so I was expecting the lights to turn on in the hallway, and I figured one of my friends must be coming back. Maybe they couldn't sleep or something. And I thought that because I was not just hearing footsteps, but I was also hearing the sound of a white cane. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, those are these tools that people use that have low vision or no vision to find obstacles or steps when they're getting around so that they can not have any not hurt themselves, not hurt ourselves trying to get around. And so I was hearing the sound of that cane tapping on the floor along with the footsteps. But the light never turned on. And the footsteps went by the door. And the light never turned on. I thought that was odd. But I just went back to my writing. Again, this is about 10 years ago, 11 years ago now. So I was not, this is far from my first experience, we'll just say. And I didn't get any bad feelings from that. So I wasn't really worried about it. And eventually the sound stopped. Also around this time, I started hearing a tapping on the window, the line of windows behind me on the other side of the room. And I thought that was odd because it was, like I said, it was the middle of winter. So there were snow drifts or piles that were up against the sides of the building that would have made it really hard for anyone to go and tap on the window without making a bunch of noise as they tried to plow through a pile of snow. And I wasn't hearing any of that through those windows. And I didn't see anything when I looked out there either. Eventually, the sounds of the cane and the walking in the hallway stopped, and the lights turned on, and I heard the supervisor walking down the hallway because they have all the keys. So I was hearing all their keys jingling. And they went by, and then eventually the lights turned off. And the sound of the person walking with the cane started again, and the light stayed off. So I was pretty amazed by all this going on. And then there was a loud tap on one of the windows. And I turned and looked because it was louder than any of the other sounds. And it was one of my friends, and they were pointing towards the room next door to the one I was in because there's a door there that they wanted me to open to let them in. And because they've been outside, apparently, there's this courtyard in this building where people were allowed to go outside and smoke because you couldn't obviously do that in a federal building. The reason they were out there smoking was they told me this whole story of something that happened to them around the same time as all these things were happening to me. And there's this one guy, and he said after he left the TV room, he went to his own room, and he was hearing bumps and bangs in his own room. And these are just basically dorm rooms. These are regular dorm rooms. There's no kitchen. There's no living room. It's just a room with the bed and a dresser and a desk and then the bathroom. So he could see all around the room. There was no one else in there with him. But he was interested in these things too because he was one of the people that had also had experiences in this building, along with myself and others. And so he decided to do something he had seen, of course, on TV. He decided to get his phone out and try to do an electronic voice phenomenon session with his phone, an EVP session. And so he got his phone out, and he hit the record button on it, and he asked out loud if there was anyone there. And he let it record, and he was still hearing the bumps and bangs. And he let it record for a while, and then he stopped the recording and played it back. And what he heard startled him so much, he got up and went outside to have a smoke. And then he came back inside and tried to play it for a friend, another friend that he came across in the hallway. This recording would not play for that friend on this phone. It would not play anymore at that time. And this freaked him out, and that's when he went back outside a second time. And that's just before he knocked on the window to be let in because he wanted to play that audio for me and tell me what happened. So, and of course, as soon as he had knocked on the window, everything else stopped. The sounds of the person in the hallway had stopped. All the other knocking sounds in the windows had stopped. So he came in and he told me all this, and then he got his phone out. And he got it going and the recording started to play. And it was this a voice, and it said, looking for the one named James. And not only the fact that it used my first name, but it was the same voice I had heard on the telephone and in the room, in another room, my apartment room in that complex, over a decade earlier. And so I don't know how to explain that other than someone was there and someone wanted to be heard and possibly was trying to reach out to me. Now, the reason I don't have that recording is because my friend's phone, ever since he got that recording, he was having problems with it. It wouldn't work right. He tried to delete the recording when this started happening because he wanted to be able to use his phone. And eventually he was able to delete the recording, of course. I don't even know if we had the technical know-how at the time to get it off of there anyway, even if he had been able to keep it. But he was able to delete it. And once he was able to do that, his phone worked like normal again. So I would say that's probably my most intense experience with a ghost, whatever the ghost may be. So the other thing that I've had happen, I've always had experiences with dreams or with odd paranormal events while I'm sleeping. So basically, I've had some visitations from loved ones that had passed on. I had my grandma, after she passed, came to me in a dream. And she did it in an amazing way, because I had this dream about being in their house. All their furniture was still there, but it was like all their belongings, all their small everyday belongings, all their just odds and ends, they were all gone. It was just the furniture. But my grandma's phone, her cell phone, was sitting on the living room coffee table. And it started to make a sound like it basically rang. Like, I don't remember what the sound was now because phones have different ringtones and all that. But so I picked it up off the table. And I was waiting for the screen to light up to show me how to answer it. But it just the ringing stopped. So I put it to my ear and I heard my dad's voice. My dad is very much alive, which is I'm very grateful for. But I heard my dad's voice saying that, like, basically, we'll all be there in a minute. And I said, okay. And I put the phone back down on the table because, again, the screen never lit up. But everybody from my family started to file into the house through the front door. And in the middle of that whole line of people, my grandma walked in. Now, the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years or so around there, I think, of her life, she had to walk with a cane or sometimes a walker. But in this dream or in this visitation, as what I feel like it was, she walked in and she didn't have either of those things with her, and she walked just fine. And everybody got into the house, and a bunch of people just spread out, and several of them went into the kitchen, almost like we were planning for getting ready for a family gathering. And I followed them into the dining room, and I could feel that everyone else, except for myself and my grandma, everyone else that I was seeing, they were just part of a dream, or they were just images and sounds. They weren't really there. But I could feel that my grandma was there. And she was looking around at everybody, and she'd look at me from time to time, smiling. And I just stood in the dining room, and while everyone was moving around, and I just was watching her because I was just amazed at how easily she had gotten in the house and everything. And so I've had visitations like that. And basically, eventually that everything faded and I woke up from that. And of course, I was crying because I was glad to see her and I was glad she's okay. But of course, still sad because it wasn't too long after she had passed. But so I've had visitation dreams. I've had many different out-of-body experiences basically over the years as well. The odd thing about those experiences is that whenever I have them, I never have the situation like I've heard before in so many cases where when people have an out-of-body situation, when they do that, they are still in their own home and they can see their physical self still laying down, and they can move around their own home or leave it however they want to. Whenever I have these experiences, I'm always somewhere else that I don't recognize. And I just sort of wander around wherever it is I'm at and confirm, yeah, I don't recognize this place. What will happen is either months or even years later in my waking life, in the regular while I'm awake, I'll end up going to some place and it will be the same place I had been to in that out-of-body experience. The circumstances will be different. I'm always alone in those out-of-body dreams, however you want to call them. But, of course, whenever I go to all these places, I'm always with people because I don't drive. I'm legally blind, so I don't really get anywhere on my own unless I can walk there. And I've had this happen so many times over the years, and that to me, I'm 99% sure that is somehow I'm visiting these places in a dream state before I visit them in person. I say this because I had this one night where I went out on a paranormal investigation event. Now, to set this up, I had three different dreams over the years before this. The first one I had was of being in a hallway, and I could see a table and two lounge chairs or like comfortable chairs on either one chair on either side of this table, and there was a brick wall behind that. And I moved toward this table, and I looked to the right, and I could see into this large room with even more tables and chairs. But they looked different than the ones that I had first seen. And the wall, one of the walls in this other room was all windows, but it was all dark. I couldn't see anything outside. And so I turned to the left and looked down the other end of this hallway. It was like a T-shaped intersection there. And there was a door and windows around it. But again, it was dark out there too, so I couldn't see anything out there. So that was the first dream I had, and I had that months or years before this event happened. The second dream I had was about a kitchen, and then it was just a small kitchen, and I left this kitchen and I went into another room, and it was looked like a dining room because it had like tables, but instead of having chairs, there were benches on either sides of these tables, and there was like four of them in this room. So I thought that was kind of odd. And these things always happen where they sort of everything lights up and I'm in the place where I'm at, and then everything fades to black and then eventually I wake up. And so that was the second location. Now the third, I was in what I thought was a house that was being renovated, because I could see all the wood of the walls and the floors, and everything was exposed, just wood, planks and pieces and all those things. And I went from one room into another, and I could see the windows at the far end of the room. And I need to look it up one of these days, what they're called. But it was windows, but they had like the wood pieces that divided the windows up into just blocks. At least that's how it looked. I don't think it was separate panes of glass, but gave it that grid-like pattern with the wood and then the glass. And so I saw this place, and I thought, oh, this is a weird, different house. It must be, it's being worked on. And that faded, and that was that. Well, years later, overall, I forget how long exactly, at this point, my family and I had found this group of local paranormal investigators. I'm not going to say which ones they are now just because I don't know if they're still around and other details on that. But we found this group and we went to a couple of events that they held. They would, and I've heard of other groups doing this, they would have hold events at historic sites and they would charge for tickets, but all the proceeds would go directly to that location, the organization that was managing that location, to so that they could put all that money into upkeep and renovation and preservation of these places. And so I went to this this light station property. I'm in Michigan, as you mentioned earlier, and this was a lighthouse. It's called the Fort Gratiot Light Station, I believe. It's in a town called Port Huron. It's actually right – there's a bridge that goes right over from there to Canada, and there's a lighthouse there. And so my family and I went to this place. Now, before we went there, we went to dinner at a restaurant. We walk into this hall that leads from the parking lot to the restaurant, and turns out it's actually attached to a hotel. And we go through this door, and I see this table and these two chairs, these two comfortable chairs, and this brick wall behind this table and chairs. And I'm thinking, that looks familiar. And then we go into the restaurant, and it's that room with the window wall and all the tables and chairs I had seen. Of course, this is in the day. Well, it's still light outside when this happens. But in the dream, it was dark, and there was no one around. And so I thought, oh, this is odd. Okay, this happened again. That's fine. And so we had dinner, and then we went to this event at this light station. And they had everyone meet in what was the duplex, the lighthouse keeper's family's duplex living quarters. And we walk into this place, and it's the kitchen from that second dream I described. And we walk around the corner into this room with tables and benches, just as I had seen in that second dream. And I was really surprised by this. I was not expecting that to happen. I've had plenty of times where I had one dream about one place, and then I went there in person, and that was it. And so I was trying to focus on what was the investigators are saying, and really distracted for a little while there. So we went around all the different places, investigated the rest of the night. The last place we went to was apparently a hospital, but it was, of course, from, I believe, the 1800s. And they were working on it. They were renovating it or restoring it. And we walk in there, and it looks like almost like a trailer park house or like a mobile home, because it's so small and everything. But we walk in there, and it's all wooden walls and wooden floors, all the planks, everything exposed. And we go into this other room to investigate. And I look to my left, and there's those windows, those same windows I had seen in that same house, or what I thought was a house when I had the dream. Turns out it was a hospital. So that was three locations that I had dreams about that I visited out of body, I'm pretty sure, and then went to one after the other in waking life, all in the same evening. So that's the other kind of experiences I've had. A lot of them happen with have to do with when I'm asleep. Over the years, I've seemed to have traveled to different places. And for a long time, I thought those were going to be all I ever experience. So about over three years ago now, I decided, because I've always been into these topics of the paranormal and supernatural, and I started getting interested in the whole UFO thing as well. I figured I'm never going to have an experience with any of these things. And the funny thing about that is I had this, I'm bouncing around here and I don't mean to, but I had this experience years earlier. It was we're getting back to why I went to that training center. Not the reason I decided to go there was because my eyes started to get worse. I was born legally blind, but I could always read books in print as long as I had special reading glasses. That started to change, and I started getting increased eye strain and light sensitivity. Well, this happened after this one night where I had what I was trying to tell myself was just a dream. But after talking with other friends and just looking at all these things, I don't think that's what it was. I don't think that's what it was anymore. So I fell asleep. At the time, I had I was sleeping on a couch out here in my living room. I had a bed, but I was in the bedroom, and I wasn't really I was just enjoying being near all my computer and all my other things, and so I was sleeping out here on the couch. And I fell asleep this one night, about 11 years ago or so now. I opened my eyes because I can feel that I was not laying on my couch anymore. I was laying on a flat, hard surface. But I also could not move except for my eyes. All I could do was look around. And so I did that, and I found that I was not in my apartment. The walls to wherever I was at, this place I was at, they were blue, I guess it'd be a dark blue, but I'm not really totally sure. Again, colors are difficult, but at least shades of colors for me. But so they were this blue, and then there were these white cabinets or shelves that were built into these walls at some places, and there was electronics in those cabinets or those shelves. Nothing with any kind of a monitor or screen. It was all just like hardware or like devices, not displays. I mean, and I couldn't move. And I looked up, and I noticed there were these two or three, I couldn't tell for sure, these figures that were moving around me and this whatever I was laying on, table, bed, whatever it was. And they were gray, but they were just blurs or blobs. They did not have any features that I could see. But they were gray. Just gray outline, or not even outlines, gray blurs, literally gray blurs. They were slowly moving around the table. And I looked up and straight up, and the ceiling was either just one massive light, or there was just so much light coming from the ceiling that I couldn't actually see the ceiling. I don't know for sure on that. And then I was trying to move, and I couldn't move, and I was starting to get freaked out, obviously. And I heard at that point my parents' voices. And again, my parents are both very much still alive, luckily. But I heard their voices saying basically that everything was okay. Everything was going to be okay. But their voices had no emotion in them. Turned my eyes to look in their general direction, and I just saw two more of these gray blurs standing basically where I had heard these voices come from. And all this time, I had noticed something when I first looked up at the ceiling. There was something that was coming down from it. And it was getting closer and closer until eventually, as I was moving and I was watching these gray blurs moving around me, it came down close enough where I could see it was like a robotic arm extension kind of a thing. There was a needle at the end of it. And I was still struggling to move, still couldn't. And eventually it came down and it touched my left eye. And that's when everything went black and I was scared, and I felt it touch my eye. And then I opened my eyes again, and I was back in my living room. I tried to convince myself for years that was just some kind of a vivid dream, until I was telling some good friends about this experience, this dream, what I was trying to tell myself was a dream. And they also knew about my eyes getting worse, and they are the ones that actually made the connection. They asked me, when did this thing happen? And when did your eyes start getting worse? And I hadn't put the two together, but my eyes started getting worse, going through those changes, at some point after this experience. I don't know what they did or tried to do or the purpose for what that was. I don't even know what if they were. I don't really know what happened other than what I felt and what I saw. But it's I always like to keep the possibilities open as to what all this is. So I have no idea for sure if it was not the regular, but sort of a typical alien abduction experience, or if it was something else that was giving off that appearance, or I don't really know what happened. But I just know that it scared me so bad I could not go back to sleep that night. I don't know. I don't think there was any major missing time. I don't remember what time it was when I laid down or what time it was when I got up, but it was still dark outside when I got up from that. But so I'm not sure what happened there. But I always thought that was, for a long time, I thought that was a dream. So I thought that I would never have any experience with the whole UFO phenomenon because of my low vision. Again, when I look up at the sky at night, even out in the country where there's no lights around, I normally can't see stars all that much. Once in a while, I'll be lucky enough to catch one or two. And I can see the moon usually, but only if it's more than half full. If it's just a sliver, I can't always see it.
Do you have an interest in the paranormal? Then you'll love the UnxNetwork.com. The X is your streaming audio and video for everything supernatural, strange, and mysterious, like UFOs, Bigfoot, ghosts, and so much more. From hosts like Clyde Lewis, Whitley Strieber, Micah Hanks, and Christina Gomez. Visit the UnxNetwork.com show page for a complete list of all the paranormal programs you'll find on the X. Be sure to follow us on Twitter for updates at KUNXDB. Follow our Facebook group, UnX Network. Find the podcast on Spotify, iHeart, Audible, and Apple Podcast. It's time.
It's new.
It's the X.
A couple years ago now, I started looking into all these sort of the I started looking more into UFOs and aliens and those kinds of concepts. And I have a friend that I was going to do, we were going to talk about all those things. I'll talk more about it near the end of the show here. We're going to talk about those things on my podcast that I do. And so I was thinking about that. And this one night I decided to go outside. It's actually morning. It was like after 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was wide awake because I'm a night owl. A lot of days I'm up until 4 or 5, and then I sleep for a few hours in the morning, and then I'm up until the afternoon, and then I sleep for a few hours again in the afternoon or evening. And so I was wide awake when this happened, and I went outside to get the mail. It was, I believe, around October of, 2022, I think, around there. Almost a couple years ago now, a year and a half ago. I noticed when I stepped outside my apartment, I live in an apartment complex, and they have things set up in these, they call them courts. They're basically, there's one way in and out of the court, and then there's buildings on four sides of like a rectangle or a square. And I looked outside, looked up at the sky when I get outside my apartment this one morning. I noticed the moon right away. It was almost full. But then I saw off to the left, I could see a light. It was just a bright light. I thought it was a star, but I also was surprised because I was seeing it really well. It looked really big for it to be a star. So I thought that was odd. And I started to walk from my place to the mailbox. And I was watching this light as I was walking, and it was just staying there like a star would. It was like a, I don't know, orange or white or some kind of just a bright light. And as I was walking, and I came up to this tree that this I think it was like a fir tree, I'm not sure what kind, pine tree, I guess maybe. there was this tree that blocked my view of this light for a minute. And as I was walking toward this tree, I was thinking, wouldn't it be amazing if this was more than just a star, or if it was more than just a plane or a drone or a satellite? Because that's what I figured, even if it's not a star, it's something that was human made. And I was just, for some reason, I was able to see it that night. And I was walking behind this tree, and I came out from behind this tree, and that's when the light was, at that point, blue. So it had changed color while I was behind that tree to a blue, a light blue. And as soon as I saw this, I also got this sense of a presence along with it. And it was just, and it was all, it, there was no, I was not afraid at all. There was not a negative, any kind of negative or even uncertain feeling from it. I didn't get any negative energy from it at all, or feeling at all. I was just amazed because I had just been thinking about this as, wouldn't that be amazing if I actually saw something in the sky for once and I could be sure it was not just a human-made object? And it happened. And I just stood there staring at it. And this is, of course, years after I've been listening to podcasts about all these topics now for a good, over 10 years, because my second trip to that training center. So I'd heard about so many different encounters, and that's sort of how I found this show. Is I'm always looking for shows where people are sharing their experiences. Funny enough, a friend of mine was on the show a little while back, Matthew or Matt in Colorado. We were both on a Discord server that for a show we listen to and call into. I'll talk about that in too if you want. But and I had no idea he'd been on the show until another friend told me about that. And I went back and listened the other day, and it was a great show. And so it's funny that I found this show on my own, basically, without even knowing about that until after the fact. So I went back online after I saw this light. I was looking at it and I thought, this is amazing. I wonder if I can communicate with it. So I started thinking toward it, and I just sent out to start with. I in my mind, I just said hello. And I got a response, but it was so fast that I almost missed it, because it was the word hello, but at such a speed that it was just instantaneous. And I can't even tell you what the voice, and there wasn't really even a voice, what it sounded like. But it was there. But then after that, it was quiet. I had sort of asked, I thanked whoever it was, first of all, for showing themselves to me. And I started asking general questions like, who are you and what are you? What are you doing here? And didn't get any responses. So eventually I just got my mail and headed back inside, because I had to tell some friends about this. And that was my first experience with that light. Now, I went back inside also thinking, that was amazing. I'm pretty sure I'll never see that again. I've seen that light now. I saw it. I didn't see it again the next day, but I did see it 5 nights in a row, or mornings in a row, not long after that, like a couple weeks later, and always in the same position. That second time I saw it, though, it did move, but not in a way where I could track it. I was doing laundry, and I have to walk out of my court over to the apartment complex main building, which is just the leasing office and maintenance and the laundry room. And I saw it in the sky above me again, and I was watching it, and I said hello, but I didn't get any response again, just nothing that time. But I could still feel it was that same intelligence, that I had that sense of presence with it always, every time. So I walked around my court and got out, and eventually, of course, lost sight of it, and looked back one more time after I'd lost sight of it, and it wasn't there anymore. And I stopped for a second because I was surprised. I was thinking, well, that's odd. I wonder, you know, where it could have gone to. And it hadn't moved at all while I was looking at it. Turned back around to face the building where I was going, and it was above that building. So it had vanished, or at least from my sense anyway, and reappeared right where I was going, basically. And it did that every other time. I went back and forth like three more times that night. It did that every time I went from one building to the other. And that to me was amazing. The thing that makes me think it wasn't just a plane or a drone, not even counting the intelligence, is the way, if it hadn't moved at all while I was watching it, I could have lost it easily, especially if it moved fast. It never did that. I almost feel like somehow who or whatever it was aware of my low vision, and it wanted me to know I wasn't mistaken about it. And it didn't want me to lose it and sort of write it off because, well, I lost it. So it must have just been, a plane or a satellite or whatever. And I saw this, again, 7 times total. The last time I saw it, I had a witness. It was the day after Thanksgiving of last year. I had gone to my mom's house to stay for the day for a Thanksgiving meal. And she drove me back home because, again, I don't drive. Well, we pulled into the parking lot in front of my place. And as we were pulling up, I just had this feeling like I needed to look up. And so I got out of the car and turned around, and it was right there where it usually was in the sky. I felt bad in the way because I asked my mom to get out and look at it as well, even though I didn't really want to because she's had surgery on her back, and actually I think it's more like her neck, that area, upper back, neck area right there. So she can't really be looking up like that for too long at a time without causing pain. But I needed her to see it, even if it was just for a second, and she did see it. And she didn't know what to make of it. But at least I did have one witness one time. I did see one more time, not one, but two of these lights. And that was more recent. That was, I think it was late October. But it was near the end of last year. And I was going outside to get the mail again. It was cloudy out, which had never been all those other times I saw this light. But it was that night, and just the sky was full of clouds. But I noticed, off in the distance, there was this one patch of these clouds that was blue. And it was a faint light, but it was there. And then in the middle of this faint light, these two brighter blue lights appeared. And that, I got that same sense of presence from each of them, but it was two separate presences. And they were just sort of flying around each other in like curves and circles and just moving around each other in the sky. And I was amazed because it was so cloudy, and yet I was able to see whatever these were. They moved like that for, I don't know, maybe a minute or so. And then eventually, I'm not sure if one basically merged with the other or went behind it to where I couldn't see a difference. Either way, at one point, one of them seemed to fly right into the other one or vanish before it got there. I'm not sure exactly how it works. And then I only sensed one presence. And then that light also started to fade. And then I didn't sense anything anymore. And then that patch of blue light in the clouds also faded away. So I've had many other experiences. I'm thinking those are really the most amazing ones to me out of everything I've had happen.
Wonderful, James. Interesting.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. It's funny because I have experiences like maybe once or sometimes twice in a week, and usually like once, I don't know, most of the weeks in the year I'll have some odd little thing happen. And so it's not like I have things happening every day, but again, when you live long enough and you have these things going on, even just once a week or once every other week for many, many years, they add up. And so that's why I'm sort of, I haven't really gone in chronological order because there's just so many.
No, that's fine. You've probably been asked this before. When you would have problems with your sight, would you find that your other senses are a lot more finely tuned?
Yeah, definitely my hearing. Now, when I was born, I actually, at least as far as I can tell, I was also born without a sense of smell. I think I have nerve damage that I was born with throughout my body in different places and to different degrees. And I was born without a sense of smell as well as low vision and also a limited sense of touch and taste in certain ways. So my hearing, my ears are the only things that really work really well. And of course, I've really learned to rely on that over the years. And so, yeah, definitely with my hearing, for sure.
It would seem that you're kind of, you know, you've had a lot of experiences and you seem completely tuned on to some of these.
Yeah, I think it just, well, for one thing, it helps when you have so many, you sort of get to, at least I feel in my case, I've sort of gotten to the point now where I'm not automatically afraid because I've had maybe 4 or 5 negative experiences throughout my life with the unexplained or paranormal versus, I mean, all the rest, which were not negative. Some may have been a little bit startling at times, but overall, nothing has really been that negative. And I know I'm very lucky in that respect. I mean, I've heard plenty of people talking about their experiences, and I don't know how they deal with them when it's so much all the time that's not good. But I've learned to really trust my feelings, trust what I'm getting from whatever is happening. And if I'm not feeling anything negative from an experience, then I just observe and sort of observe it until it's all done and make note of it. And I don't try to initiate more experiences. I've had people ask me that, if you have so many of these, and especially with the out of body things, why don't you want to sort of get better at having those experiences all the time? And my answer is no, I have enough to deal with just in everyday, normal, mundane life things that keeps me busy. I don't need to be dealing with this stuff any more than it already happens and I already do. So that's plenty, really. And with the out-of-body things and with the dream experiences, half the time when I have them and I wake up, I'm still tired because it's like I was aware and living and exerting using up some kind of energy having those experiences. So I don't really want to sleep. It's hard enough to get to sleep sometimes as it is. I don't need to be making that worse.
People can have these certain dreams where they're very real and you wake up the next day and you're just exhausted when you should be well rested. But it is like you've been physically active all night.
Yeah. So, and I mean, I also am very lucky. I don't want to try to ask for or generate more experiences when who knows what I'm asking or who I'm asking to have those experiences that could lead to some negative things. And so, again, I'm happy with what overall with what I've been experiencing and to share and talk about those experiences with others as well.
Yeah. I mean, I do know where they're coming from. I mean, specifically with the outer body, the astral projection side of it, it is like you've just centered in on these paranormal locations and then you visited them quite successfully, it would seem. So that is probably something when you're not so busy, maybe you might be able to develop.
Yeah, I still have, it's odd. I've also over the years, I have had out of body experiences where I've visited places that meant a lot to me or where I've visited family members that meant a lot to me. So I do tend to visit those places still in my dreams sometimes, which is odd because my family doesn't live in any of those places anymore. So it's like I'm sort of visiting places where they belong to strangers now. And so I try not to intentionally do that because I had an experience one time with talking about that. where I found myself in the basement of that house that I started talking about in the beginning of the show here that used to be my aunt and uncle's house. And I found myself in the basement. And this was in the middle of the day. I had fallen asleep in the middle of the day one time. I do that fairly often now. But I was in this basement again. And I could see light coming in through the windows that were up near the ceiling in the basement. And I was just standing in this basement, and I could hear voices from above me on the ground floor. But I didn't recognize them, and I realized, well, no, I wouldn't recognize them. My family has been gone from here for years now. But I was curious about sort of what the house would look like, and I did start to – I went up the stairs leading up to the ground floor, and I almost tried to go through the door to open the door – to look at the rest of the house, because I have visited that house other times, and out of body experiences and seen it look different than what it did with the family there. And I was going to do that again, but then I stopped because I was thinking, what would I look like or sound like to these people if I came across them? Would they be able to sense me at all? Would I just sensing me, would that frighten them? And I didn't want to do that. So I ended up just staying where I was until the fatigue came, till I got tired again there and everything faded. Because, again, I was really curious, but I don't want to ever have leave a negative impact on anyone just so I can find out more about these things. That's not really worth it to me.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. So for me, several years ago, I had an out-of-body experience where I'd been asleep in bed with my wife. I opened my eyes, and I can't really say I'm stood up in the room because I didn't really seem to have a body. I was just really a set of eyes seeing.
And right.
I could see myself asleep in bed. I could see my wife asleep in bed, and I'm just stood in a dark room. There was enough light coming through to know where I was. I didn't think about going out the window, leaving the room and going on an adventure. To be honest, I didn't really know what to do. I've said this in a previous episode before. I didn't know what to do. Hindsight, I should have gone wandering and explored around a bit. But it was the strangest thing. I just snapped out of it and I woke up and I was back in my body. The strangest thing. And during that period of time, I was getting a lot of sleep paralysis. I was predominantly stressed for a good while as well. So whether that's anything to do with it, it's not something I've experienced since, even though I'd maybe like to.
Yeah. I had that happen one other time where I had an out-of-body experience. I wound up in my grandparents' house back when my grandma was still living there after my grandpa had passed. And I found myself in the dining room there. And this happened before the visit to my cousin's, what used to be my cousin's house. And I was in the dining room and the lights were off in there, but I could see into the living room and I could see my grandma in there. And again, that's sort of what made me, that's what I thought of when I had that second experience, because at first I was like, oh, that's my grandma. I want to go say hi. But I stopped right away and I was like, wait, what do I look like? What would I sound like? I mean, the last thing I want to do is, you know, frighten my grandma, you know, by whatever I look or sound like to her. So I ended up just staying there again that first time there until everything faded and I woke up. And that's what I thought of when I found myself in that basement of that house. And when I got to the door there and I was thinking, no, I'd like to look around. I was like, no, wait, no. You know, what if you scare the people that are living there out of that house? So, yeah, I think when there's no one around in the place, if I find myself there, I do like to look around as long as I can feel like, and somehow I'm able to usually sense when there's people around, even if I don't see them. I had that happen one other time and this was after my grandma had passed and the house was out of the family's hands at that point. And so I found myself back in that house again. It was at night and I was wandering around the kitchen and looked at the dining room, and I didn't recognize any of the furniture, which to me was a sign, oh, this is an out-of-body experience. You're actually visiting that house. And I came up to this little hallway where the bathroom door and the bedroom, the one bedroom was at, and the bedroom door was closed. And I don't know how I was able to tell, but I just had a feeling that the people that had bought the house were behind that door. And so I just did not go anywhere near it because I didn't want to, you know, wake them up and again, frighten them. So, but if I feel like there's no one else in the place, then I don't mind exploring, because I think it's an amazing thing. You know, I've gotten to that point now. If that happens, if I find myself in a place, I will look around and try to find things that stick in my memory so that if I do go to that place in person, in waking life someday, then those things will pop out at me and I'll know again that, oh yeah, that was an out-of-body experience, not just a dream.
And it makes you wonder, James, how many times has people seen apparitions? Could they have possibly been other people astral traveling?
Definitely. And I mean, there's just, that goes back to what I said early on in the show, where I think there's a lot of things that can appear ghostly or to appear to be a ghost. And there can be many causes for that. And so really, I when I was younger, when I was first sort of listening to any kind of shows about all these things, I did have this idea that, oh, anything, if it's like a ghost of any kind, it's either a residual energy image of a person or a voice of a person, or it's the spirit of the person that had been there that was passed on. And now I think there's just so many possibilities that all I can say when I have experiences or when I hear about people's experiences is, you know, just describe whatever it was as well as you can. Don't worry so much about, you know, trying to figure out what was causing or what it was or who it was, because I think that's going to be even more difficult to figure out than trying to describe what you're seeing and hearing in some of these cases.
So, James, was your interest in the paranormal, was it born out of having the experiences, or did you have a bit of an interest beforehand?
Oh, no, it was definitely based on experiences, because I just had so many over the years. And then I found podcasts. I found other shows similar to yours here where people were sharing their experiences. And I just wanted more and more of that. And so, yeah, I just that's what started it, was hearing people talk about these things and wanting to be part of the conversation. That's why whenever I find a podcast I like, I always reach out to them, to the host, to do this, to come on and talk about my own experiences. Because if for one thing, it's amazing. I've noticed everyone always comes up with different questions about my experience, you know, someone's experiences. So I've been on a few different shows over the years now, and everyone always asks slightly different questions. And so that's why I love doing this. It's not even so much a self-promotion thing. It's just a gathering more information and ideas. That's what I'm most interested in.
Now, enough about other people's podcasts. James, tell us about yours.
Yeah, well, it's called Salcido Paranormal. Salcido is my last name. That's Salcido. I started, again, just out of wanting to find more accounts of experiences and share them, and just do a lot more research and share my thoughts based on all that as I look into these things. And it's been around now for just over 3 years. I released my first episode on Halloween of 2020, I believe, because last Halloween was the third anniversary. I just find accounts of experiences online and I sort of rewrite them. Not so much changing at all, of course, the story, but I keep out details of locations and I don't use names and all those kinds of things, just to give people more accounts of experiences. And that, to me, that's really just been a lot of fun to do that. And I've learned so much. And then I do book reviews of older books, like things that are sort of in the public domain now, and whatever else I can think of. And then I have guests on here and there to talk about their experiences. I put out four shows a week. They're just shorter shows because of my eyes the way they are. I can't be sort of doing a major 2-hour long show the way I would like to do, but I can do an hour. And so I do that, and then I do it 2 shows per night, every Friday and Saturday. I do all the recording on Discord, and it's really been good for me. It's nice and simple overall, and then I release them throughout the week. And you can find me just by search the podcast name. That's just Salcedo Paranormal. Funny thing about that is I did put out a couple of books years ago about the paranormal, and I used the word darkness in the title, and which is fine for books. But then a few years ago when I decided to start my podcast, I was going to use the same book title for the podcast. And of course, there are so many podcasts and shows that have the word darkness in their title that I decided not to do that. I just decided to go with my name instead, sort of make it easier on myself. But yeah, that can be found on most podcast platforms. And I upload everything also to YouTube, just with like a still image. And then, yeah, there's an email. I have like an all my links page you can find. And then I'll go from there and find me all the places that way.
Well, I started listening to James's podcast pretty much after we followed each other on X, on the former Twitter. And I don't generally have too much time to listen to other shows. The only real time I have is when I'm working out and trying to lose this belly. But what I like about your show is it's very well researched. You're great to listen to. You know, you have a very calming voice. You're very listenable. And there's no ego in that show, which generally shows with egos I tend to completely avoid. Got a real good show there. I will put all James's links below in the description. I suggest you go check him out because it is a really good show. Salcedo Paranormal.
That is right. And thank you so much. I'm glad that you like it. And I'm hoping that things only grow from here. I forgot to mention too, I'm very lucky to be not only have the podcast, but it's also on an online radio station that, so I'm very happy about that. If you don't mind, I could mention more about that if that's okay.
Yeah, you go right ahead. I'm friends with Michael. You go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, good. I'm Michael Strange is great. I've called into his show many times, and, he started a online radio station a little while back, and mine was the first other show besides his own, which is Trouble Minds, and it's the Trouble Minds Radio Network, KUAP, Digital Broadcasting. He started that, and he invited me to be on there with him, and so my shows are on every night there, right before his show is on. So mine are on at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. You hear replays of 2 episodes of my show. And then right after that is either a live or a rerun of Michael Strange's show at Trouble Minds Radio. So definitely recommend that show to everyone. Anyone who's interested in just ideas and discussing possibilities. And there's so many great callers and people down there that are friends of mine. If you're looking for something interesting, especially a live show, definitely recommend checking that out.
Wonderful stuff, James.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm just happy to get my voice out there and experiences out there to all new listeners. And you all are welcome to check out my show as well, and then even join me on the show. I have an email that I always include in my contacts for anyone that's had an experience. If you'd like to send it in as a something for me to read, or if you want to try to, you know, want to join me on Discord. It takes a little while to get used to, but it is an amazing program for that kind of thing. And once you get going on it, it's nice and easy overall. And like, again, that's how I do everything. So, but yeah, happy to talk with anyone that wants to reach out to me.
Good stuff. All right, James, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Oh, thank you for having me.
No problem. And you try and get some rest, because I know it's got to be pretty early for you at the minute.
Almost 4. Yep.
Almost 4. Okay. Well, you get some rest, James, and we will speak soon.
Sounds good. Take care.
Okay. Take care, James.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye for now. That is all for tonight. Keep updated and connected with the show on X, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A very big thank you to James for sharing tonight, and as always, thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.